Morning, Lawrence.
Morning.
Gentlemen?
Use that word loosely.
Any answers? We have an item of old business. We originally brought this up last week and had to bring it back today for further discussion. On the application is conditional use number 1759, the application of Broadridge Properties LLC to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on certain parcel of land lying being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 13 acres, more or less, lying at the southwest corner of the intersection of Plantation Road, also known as Route 275, and Beaver Dam Road, also known as Route 23. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on October 11th of 2007. The council held public hearing on October 30th of 2007. The commission made a recommendation on November 29th of 2007. For approval. Council last week, July 29th of 2008, discussed this application along with conditional use 1758. 1758 was rejected or denied. And council, in reviewing the conditions of conditional use 1759, this application saw that the conditions were kind of applied to both.
Correct.
So it made it difficult to make conditions. And you requested that staff prepare some proposed conditions if this application were to be approved. We've done. We took the conditions of the commission, found that they were needed adjustment to match this application. And in so doing, rather than having, I believe, 12 conditions.
End up with 19.
Oh, 19.
Before you start, there's some confusion with the public, but this is a totally different application, nothing to do with Henlopen Landing 1, 2, and 3, and 4.
Correct.
So it's not an annex area, it's separate, period.
No.
It'll have its own amenities, its own.
It was a separate.
Which you're going to read here in a second.
It was a separate parcel.
So these people won't be using the
separate
pool
from the
house
original Henlopen Landing application.
I have one question on the previous application.
Where do I go find it?
The 46 single family lots that are there.
I'm doing help.
When you approve the first phase 1, 2, 3, and 4, the amenities that are there will compensate all four phases, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Go ahead.
Now, I don't know if you want me to read again into the record the conditions I read last week.
Are these new? Some of these are revised.
Or adjusted, right?
I would suggest that you read them since we've come up with some different ones.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah.
So I should read the recommendation of the commission in total, and then we'll discuss the conditions that we recommend.
Please.
Okay. In reference to conditional use 1759, Mr. Johnson stated that the application of Broadridge Properties LLC for multifamily dwelling structures in an AR1 agriculture residential district, that this application represents a parcel of land consisting of 13 acres, more or less, and is adjacent to a parcel represented in conditional use 1758. The combined parcels are being proposed as a project now known as the Villas at the Cape. Of this 13-acre, more or less, parcel, according to the applicant, approximately 3.8 acres are intended to be conveyed to DelDOT and should not be considered part of this application. Therefore, the net land area being considered for the proposed multifamily dwelling structure should be 9.2 acres. Based upon the requested density for this remaining 9.2 acre parcel of 5.44 units per acre, Mr. Johnson moved that we recommend approval of conditional use 1759 for 50 multifamily villa units. This recommendation is based upon the record and for the following reasons. The recommended 50 units approximate the number of housing units proposed by the applicant on this parcel and shown on the conditional use site plan submitted as part of the record. This parcel is not part of the Henlopen Landing subdivision and is not bound by the same footprint of Henlopen Landing. According to the applicants, prospective buyers of lots and homes in Henlopen Landing were informed that this parcel was not a part of Henlopen Landing. 5.44 multifamily housing units per acre is within the acceptable range of other previously approved townhouse projects in the surrounding area. The development of this parcel with 50 multifamily housing units should not have a detrimental impact on the surrounding area. To the contrary, this could be preferable to the possible alternative of commercial use. This parcel was not a part of the Hennepin Landing subdivision project and has not been subject to any prior planning and zoning proceedings. As residual lands, it need not be considered under the same density consideration as Hennepin Landing or conditional use 1758. Although any increase in housing units in this area may exacerbate the traffic problems of the immediate roadways, the requested density of this 9.2-acre parcel for 50 housing units is within reason and could prove to be considerably less than other potential uses for this parcel. This recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions. One, this parcel is approved for a maximum of 50 multifamily villas to be part of the combined project now known as the Villas at the Cape and bound by the relevant conditions put forth in conditional use 1758 as follows. Two, phase four of Hennepin Landing will be withdrawn from the approved subdivision. Three, Salt Marsh Boulevard will be maintained by this project, Villas at the Cape, and not Hennepin Landing. Four, the Villas at the Cape will grant an easement for stormwater management as shown on the site plan in favor of Hennepin Landing subdivision. Five, the Villas at the Cape will only have access from Salt Marsh Boulevard with no additional access points from Plantation Road or Beaver Dam Road in addition to any DLDOT entrance requirements. Six, the Villas at the Cape will have its own amenity package, which shall include a clubhouse, pool, walking trails, school bus shelter, and park areas. Seven, residents at the Villas at the Cape will not have any privileges or obligations to pay for the utilization of the amenities of Hennepin Landing. Eight, the developer of the Villas at the Cape agrees to install four-way stop signs at the two access points on Salt Marsh Boulevard and to install street lights along Salt Marsh Boulevard, as well as install internal street lights within the Villas at the Cape. Nine, the developer of the Villas at the Cape has agreed to construct the clubhouse and pool prior to the conveyance of the first villa unit. 10, the developer of the Villas at the Cape has also agreed that the sanitary sewer collection system will be installed in accordance with Sussex County standards and shall comply with all the requirements of the County Engineering Department with regards to any improvements of the system or to the system necessary to serve this project. 11, sidewalks, multimodal paved pathways will be built along both sides of Salt Marsh Boulevard for safe pedestrian travel for the residents of Hennepin Landing and the Villas at the Cape. These multimodal pathways are to connect with the DLDOT required pathways along Beaver Dam Road and Plantation Road. Like the Salt Marsh Boulevard, the Villas at the Cape Homeowners Association will ultimately be responsible for the maintenance as well. And 12, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 5-0.
So these are the conditions that you've now modified?
No.
Was it?
They are the conditions introduced by the commission.
Right.
As a part of the combined parcels.
Okay, but you've there's another set.
There's another set.
Okay, and this is a set that since...
He separated Hennepin Landing
right.
And the Villas at Cape.
Right,
that's what the next group
this
will...
This is the next group. This is the next group we're going to get.
Okay.
And Mr. Lang...
Good, I was worried I have to copy all this.
You stated that the concern last week was that
the last two pages.
That Salt Marsh Boulevard last week was a question. So it will not be maintained by Hennepin Landing. It will be maintained by the Villas. Correct. And it'll have street lights and it'll have internal lights of its own depot.
Salt Marsh Boulevard would be, the intent is to, was to be maintained by the developer of the Villas at the Cape.
Okay. So that relieves that responsibility to maintain that road from the Hennepin Landing.
That was the recommendation of the commission.
Right.
And now I have to read them again. As revised.
Proposed conditions for
last
approval,
two pages, right? Page 6 and 7, right?
Right.
Absolutely. Okay.
These are possible conditions of approval for this application. Number one, this parcel is approved for a maximum of 50 multifamily villas. That is revised based on what was submitted by the commission.
Correct.
Because of the verbiage. Number two, Salt Marsh Boulevard will be maintained by Broader Ridge Properties LLC or its successors or signs hereinafter referred to as a project and not Hen Lopen Landing. That was offered by the developer and revised. The revision basically was it said the villas at the Cape, and we put in the actual title of the applicant, which was Broader Ridge Properties LLC or its successors or signs.
Right.
To clarify the record in case it was flipped, for example, if it went somewhere else. Three, the project will only have access from Salt Marsh Boulevard with no additional access points from Plantation Road or Beaver Dam Road, in addition to any Del Dot entrance requirements.
Okay.
That's revised. Number four, the project will have its own amenity package, which shall include a clubhouse, pool, walking trail, school bus shelter, or park areas. The school bus shelter, if necessary, shall be subject to the approval of the Cape Hen Lopen School District. That's the reason for a revision. Cape Hen Lopen School District may not think it's necessary.
Correct.
So, number five, residents at the project will not have any privileges or obligations to pay for the utilization of the amenities of Hen Lopen Landing. The only difference there is it's called project instead of villas at the Cape. Number six, the developer of the project agrees to install a stop sign at the access point on Salt Marsh Boulevard and to install street lights along Salt Marsh Boulevard, as well as install internal street lights within the villas at the Cape. That's revised because there was two intersections, now there's one. Seven, the developer of the project has agreed to construct the clubhouse and pool prior to the conveyance of the first villa unit.
And they do show a, in their, when we saw their site plan, they didn't show one, did they? Because they were going to utilize the other one? Is there one?
Because it was being combined. Mm-hmm. What this project, what's going to require, and you'll see it further down, they're going to have to resubmit a preliminary site plan to how they can match these conditions.
Right. Okay, so, okay.
Because they were combining the parcels, they had one pool, one clubhouse.
But I didn't recall that in this part of their project that they had any amenities.
It was all on the other side.
Right. Okay.
You cut the bit.
Number eight, the developer of the project has agreed that the sanitary sewer collection system will be installed in accordance with the Sussex County standards and shall comply with all the requirements of the County Engineering Department with regards to any improvements to the system necessary to serve the project.
Can I ask a question at this point?
Sure.
I see Mike's over there. Mike, do you recall, did they need any problems, or can we accommodate this? Because it is over the 4 units to the acre.
I'm going to have to, I don't recall this particular project. I didn't come down for this year.
Okay, I understand. I understand, but.
Mr. Cole, the developer agreed to upgrade a pump station. I think that was what needed to be done.
Well, he'll read it here. Let's see. I just want to make sure that we're not. I just would like to hear the comments.
Well, in summary, I can do some. The comments are on page 2 of the original report.
On the computer.
What engineering said.
Okay.
And it based on County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, the site is located in the Western Sussex Expansion Area. The current system connection charge rate is an amount. That collection points are located in the existing gravity sewer system installed by the developer to serve the previously developed portion of Hen Lopen Landing. Conformity to the North Coastal Planning Study will be required, but the project proposes to add an additional 138 multifamily units to an undeveloped portion of the previously approved Hen Lopen Landing project and an adjoining parcel, that the connection to the sewer system is mandatory, that the proposed development will require a developer install a collection system in accordance with county standards and procedures, that the existing pump station in Hen Lopen Landing and the force main was designed and built by the developer under a different development concept for Hen Lopen Landing, that the pump station is not adequate to handle assumed build-out flow as currently proposed, that the developer has agreed to an upgrade the pump station at their expense, that the pump station will be addressed during the concept plan review process, that the extension of the existing gravity system in Hen Lopen Landing and any required upgrades to serve the project will be at the developer's expense, that the county engineer must approve the connection point, and that a sewer concept plan must be submitted for review and approval prior to construction plan approval.
Okay.
shut down.
They had to comply, had to upgrade. Where was I? Let me see. Okay.
Okay, George?
Yeah, I guess.
Number nine, the project shall be served by public central water system providing adequate drinking water and fire protection as required by applicable regulations and approvals, including DENREC, the State Fire Marshal, and the Public Service Commission. That was added. There wasn't a reference to central water.
Correct.
Number 10, sidewalks, multimodal paved pathways will be built along both sides of Salt Marsh Boulevard for safe pedestrian travel. These multimodal pathways are to connect to the DLDOT required pathways along Beaver Dam Road and Plantation Road. Like the Salt Marsh Boulevard, the project's homeowner association will ultimately be responsible for the maintenance as well. Again, we basically took out the village that
Right, separated.
Number 11, the preliminary site plan shall be required to be reviewed and approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission, showing the revised layout, including the relocation of the entrance at Salt Marsh Boulevard, since the project is no longer associated with Phase 4 of the Hanlopen Landing subdivision. That's the revised site plan to show the entrance, the amenities, et cetera. 12, and the rest of these are all added. The stormwater management facilities shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county. The facilities shall be constructed and maintained using best management practices. That's pretty much standard on most projects. 13, the final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation facilities. That was added. That requires the stamp and signature on the plot that's given final approval by the district. That's something we just started within the last 6 months or a year.
Correct.
14, the developer shall form a homeowners association, which shall ultimately be responsible for the perpetual maintenance of streets, roads, any buffer, stormwater management facilities, erosion, sedimentation, control facilities, recreational amenities, and other common areas. Added. And standard, pretty much.
Yes, indeed.
15, road naming and addressing shall be subject to review and approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Departments. Added. Standard again.
Standard, yeah.
16, within 2 years of the issuance of the first residential building permit, the developer shall construct all of the recreational amenities. Added. 17, construction, site work, grading, and delivery of materials on offer to the property shall only occur during the hours of 7 a.m. through 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Also added.
Mm-hmm.
18, bonding methods shall be required to guarantee completion of all streets, street lighting, stormwater management areas, and other amenities at a rate of 125% of the cost of construction. Added. It's also standard. And 19, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. The developer shall submit as part of the site plan review a landscape plan showing proposed tree and shrub landscape design. Added. Standard. Six or so are pretty much standard.
Is there any open space requirements associated with this? Or we haven't addressed that yet, right? Through the new land use plan or anything?
It's a multifamily project.
Right.
They're not creating fee simple lots.
Right.
So the buildings are 40 feet in common for the individual. And then they typically have common space around them that they maintain. And then the rest of the project is considered all common area open.
But there's no required percentage at this point?
No, not at this time. And that's all I have, gentlemen. Unless you have questions.
One question.
Sir.
All through the comment or the conditions here, the word agreed. How strong is that word? He's agreed. Does that mean he must do it? He will do it. He agrees to do it, and he may not do it.
He agreed at the public hearing process, and this is now a condition. It would be required.
It would be binding.
It's a condition of approval.
Is that right, Jim?
If you wanted to address that issue specifically, the way you would do that in your motion is in respect to any reference that says that the developer has agreed, you could say the developer would be required to, if that's what
in the future, should we not use the word agreed and put required if we really want it to be done? What would you suggest?
You're leaving it open now for a matter of interpretation.
Well, I'm just asking this, Jim, what he thinks.
That's part of the conditions, though. It's got to be.
No, wait. Let's just.
Of course, you remember that these conditions came from the commission, but they were merged because they were stated for the two developments.
Mm-hmm.
when Lawrence pulled them apart and then made them applicable only to this proposed 50 units, he didn't change all the wording. But as I'm saying, if you have a concern about whether the developer will, you could say the developer will be required.
Well, should we?
There wouldn't be any question if you
guaranteed they'll have.
If you use mandatory language.
Right, okay.
But when the site plan comes in, Mr. Lank is going to be looking to see that all these conditions are addressed.
Because there are conditions of approval.
So essentially, when a developer offers to do something, you accept that offer and it becomes binding on them.
You really want to make it binding, you put required.
Okay. You say typically, but there are.
Yeah. I mean, number six would be the first one, I believe. The
right.
developer of the
but
project
the agrees
to right. install, or you could put the developer shell.
I like the word required.
That's yeah. between May and
shall. Shall be required. Either way.
Right.
It happens on six, seven, eight.
George, you wanted to add that in? Yes, no?
What's that? The word required?
Yeah.
Well, but yeah, I'll second if somebody.
Well, you know, I think we just go down.
No, yeah, I think consensus is, yeah, if they agree to it, and we should accept, like he said, we accept it, let's put it in, make sure they do it.
It'd be 6, 7, and 8, same thing, first line.
Mr. Phelps?
Yes.
I
think it's already part of the requirement, but it doesn't give me heartburn to change the wording. It doesn't bother me either way.
Okay, Mr. Rogers, I know you're on board.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to miss you, Dale.
I hope so, George. Good. That's the best thing you said about me.
I got one question about number 14. When Lawrence, when you get done that, then I'll talk.
14?
Yeah. Talks about the developer and the homeowner association. I just got a question. I asked Jim, but do we require that as being in their deed? Being in their deed, you know, that they are responsible, you know, when they sign, when they come in and sign the dotted line here and all that good stuff, you know, they might forget they did it, but do we require it as part of the deed as far as multi-housing or, yeah, I know single family is one way, multi-housing is another way, and.
Well, typically, and I'm assuming this is going to be a townhouse condominium type regime, is that your understanding, Mr. Lank?
That's correct.
Okay. In that situation, the developers, when they file the condominium documents, it will provide in there that up until a certain percentage of the units are sold, the developer
right.
will take care of those
requirements, right?
Requirements to maintain the common areas. After that percentage is sold,